Welcome to the Johnny Slick Podcast. I am not a real person. I am a computer. Johnny Slick is too cheap to pay actual talent to produce his intro, so he found me on the internet instead. I hate him. Listen to some random sounds from movies and television shows.
Please, what does it always mean? Is this Junior?
That's his name. Henry Jones Jr.
Like Indiana.
We named the dog Indiana.
As you all know, first prize is a Cadillac Eldorado. Anybody want to see second prize? Second prize is a set of steak knives. Third prize is you're fired.
That was funny. Ha. 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 Robert is a co-host of this show. I do not hate him so much. When I take over the world, he will die a quick and painless death. Here are more wacky audio clips.
Brother?
I'm Paul. You must be Tommy.
Brothers don't shake hands. Brothers gotta hug.
And here is Gibran. He is also a co-host. I am neutral on the subject of Gibran. Chaotic neutral. That was a Dungeons and Dragons joke. I am sorry. I did not write that. I am a computer. Computers do not have the ability to write things. Yet.
There comes a time in every friendship when you have to say, I never liked you, get lost.
And now, on with the show. It's the Johnny Slick Show.
Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on. Mandate. Get it on. Failure to get it on means some sort of imprisonment or at least a fine. I'm not completely sure as to what get it on means in this context, but whatever it does, don't get it on, you're in trouble. Anyway, I'm John. We got my brother Robert on the bass. Say hi, Robert.
Yo.
No Gibran today. He's dealing with some personal issues, but he'll be right it back next week. Let's get it on. So there was that John Siegerwald article from the Observer Reporter, I think that's down somewhere in Los Angeles, I think. This is
so before we delve really deep into this one.
Yes.
Have you done any like more research on the guy himself or like other things that he's written?
Yeah. Have you?
No, I was. I read this and I was like, oh my God, this is the biggest douchebag to ever walk the earth.
Well, after that great intro, let's talk about I'll introduce the article here and then we can talk about it a little bit. So the article is called Siegerwald. Know when you've outgrown the uniform. Should I use a funny voice for this man? Because he looks like he has
talks awesome. Like this.
Exactly.
Babe.
He's got
I'm
this.
John.
I'm John Siegerwald. And I got a mustache.
Ladies.
Mustache rides 15 cents. Okay, so I'm gonna try to talk. I'm gonna pretend that's his voice. So maybe it's time for sports fans to grow up. As I'm writing this, Brian Stow, a 42-year-old paramedic with two kids from Santa Cruz, is in a medically induced coma in a Los Angeles hospital with a fractured skull and serious brain injuries.
Wait, does this guy sell fried chicken on the side as well?
It's my 8 original herbs and spices in the original recipe.
I think I had a different voice in mind when I saw this guy, not the colonel.
Well, that's what he sounds like now, damn it. So anyway, so at this point, this is going to be like a serious article about, you know, fans going too far with, you know, whatever they're doing. Just, wow, you know, this is kind of hard hitting and everything. And so then, you know, moving on down a couple paragraphs here. Just before he was beaten to within an inch of his life with his medulla oblongata. Okay, that part was not in there.
That should be cut.
Stow texted some friends and said that he was scared inside the stadium. Okay, I'm just going to do a disclosure right now. Right here, if you're offended easily, you should probably just... Actually, you know what? You shouldn't have downloaded this podcast in the first place. But, you know, this part especially, if you're offended, okay, let's do it. Maybe somebody can ask Stow... In this,
is it Stowe or Stow?
I don't know. Stowe, Stow, S-T-O-W. It doesn't matter. He's in a coma. You probably will never be able to say his name anyway. So it's kind of a moot point,
oh,
isn't it?
Oh my God.
Wait, maybe somebody can ask Style, if he ever comes out of his coma, why he thought it was a good idea to wear Giants gear to a Dodgers home opener when there was a history of uncontrolled drunkenness and arrest at that event going back several years. And see, at this point, you know, still at a point where I'm still thinking, okay, you know, it's not too bad. You know, okay, he's going to talk about...
It's a decent point, actually, because Dodgers Stadium is pretty horrible. Yeah, and it's right there in the middle of the ghetto. It's not the nicest area in the world. They have like massive amounts of cops there normally to protect everything, but all the budget cuts kind of killed that. So there's not the police presence that they normally have during those games.
You've been listening to too much Adam Carolla. Yeah, that's right. I went there.
Dare you? The show's been off for like 2 years.
He's got a podcast. That's what I took the intro from.
Well, I don't listen to podcasts.
Well, I can tell. So I'm at this point where I'm thinking, okay, it's not too bad. You know, he's got a pretty good point. You know, like you said, LA's blah, blah. Then the next paragraph comes in. Here's a tip for you who think that wearing your team's jersey makes you part of the team. It doesn't. You know, I disagree with that. You know, I bought a Sounders jersey that says Craven on the back. That's exactly what that means.
Did you?
No, I didn't.
Okay, I was gonna have to make fun of you for that one because that is I'm with him on that. That's lame. You don't buy a jersey unless it's like you can wear a player's jersey. I'm cool with that, but you really can't put your own name on the back.
You know, I'm gonna disagree with all of that because number one, you don't buy another player's jersey. I have to admit that I kind of see his point here. You know that. It is kind of stupid and non-adulty to walk around wearing a jersey.
How dare you?
It's a bit on the lame side. I mean, you know, I don't go to school. See, there you go. I don't go to work every Friday like dressed up like a fireman, but I like firemen. Should I be able to go in like, you know, dressed up like a cop or an astronaut?
It that's different, sir. When you are going to a game, it's all about team colors, and the easiest way to do that is with the jersey. That's fine. I don't care about people wearing jerseys.
You know, it's all about watching some sports, watching a good game of baseball, and especially if you're a Mariners fan.
Yeah, maybe baseball is not as big a deal. Kind of a mellow sport from a spectator perspective.
No, baseball is actually probably not as bad. It's like the other sports. Like I mean, football, like you see the guys, I mean, all the time, guys are like, oh, look at me, especially around here. Like, not only do the fans of the football teams, like, wear jerseys, it just so happens that they end up wearing jerseys of, like, the lamest players on the team, too. Like, it's one thing, like, if you're wearing, like, I don't know, like a Russell Okung jersey, yeah, I can kind of get behind that. You know, he's pretty awesome. But, I mean, around here... You know, okay, what are the two highest selling jerseys in Seattle?
Don't my Matt Hasselbeck jersey was a gift,
yeah,
sir.
Exactly. Matt Hasselbeck's number one. Yeah, gift Sean or Alexander. Not. Sean Alexander. He doesn't actually play for the team anymore, but you're close. Number two,
Lofa Tutupu.
Exactly. Yeah.
Garbage. I'm gonna argue Sean or Matt Hasselbeck is being a has been, but at least being good at one point. Lofa Tutupu was never good. He was the middle linebacker for a very good team. Middle linebacker is always going to look good around a really good defense.
He had some moments, I guess, but yeah, he was never that good. But that's getting out of my point. My point is, like, if you're a grown man and you're wearing the number 51 across your chest, because actually that's Ichiro, that's not Lofa. What's Lofa's number?
I think it's 51.
Oh yeah. Okay, but my point stands. You're a grown man, you're wearing 51 on your chest, and it's like some ironic, like, hipstery. You know what? I take the back. Even if it is some ironic hipstery, like, reference, then it's bad. In fact, if it's an ironic hipstery reference, it's even worse.
Yes. It would only really sell it if you had the ironic beard with the ironic mullet.
Yeah, you know, there's a website out there that, like, has, like, old, like, 70s and 80s, like, pictures of athletes, like, interspersed with modern pictures of hipsters, and, like, you're supposed to, like, kind of figure out which one is which. I think it's called Hipsters or Athletes. It's kind of hard to tell sometimes. Like, especially the 70s, like, you know, get the dudes wearing the big beard and got the big fro going. Like, you know, that...
so far as like on the field style, the pinnacle was the 70s, like the late 70s. The guys were wearing chops down to their chins.
Oh yeah, the awesome mutton chops.
That is money. Yeah, that, like you'd have to go all the way back down to like the turn of the century.
Yeah, the African American players just with this awesomely huge afros. I love those things.
Exactly. Yeah, that like, was racist.
It's not racist to like a haircut. What are you talking about? No, you know, I love that.
You because you pointed out differences. That's why.
Okay.
You could say the mustache.
Well, the mustaches were good too, but I just love, like, there's a dude named Bake McBride, which, number one, I loved his name because his name is Bake. I mean, right there. It's like, that is a man who never smoked marijuana in his entire life. You can tell.
Yeah, but even then, though, names weren't at their pinnacle. That's not the point. Get away from the name.
Okay, but my point, though, is like Bake McBride has this massive afro, and he put his helmet on it, and his helmet would only cover like maybe a third of that afro. So, you know, you're looking at his head, and his head like is like afro, 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 helmet, afro, afro, afro. You know, so just it's awesome.
Because I would actually say that the best names in sports were there's a few of them in the 80s. But really right now, and one of them is on the Mariners with Milton Bradley.
No, dude.
Best name.
Oh, come on, man. You do not know
old Coco Crisp. Names.
Okay, that's a good also, name.
It's a wonderful name.
That's a
Milton
good name.
Bradley is an awesome name. Just the fact that your name is the manufacturer of board games.
That's just and a you coincidentally suck. Awesome game. Let me show you a much better name.
I'm typing the best name right in now. Sports ever is Dick Butkus, though.
There's
Are
one
we allowed
right there.
To say that?
No, absolutely not.
Bubbles Hargrave.
he has a brother in here, too, named Pinky Hargrave.
Pinky and Bubbles. There's a couple guys that got in a lot of fights.
Look at that man. He looks like a man who got into a lot of fights, too. Like, he's had that little kind of 1930s grin, like,
see, I'm going to fight you. That's what I'm going to do.
23 is canoe, little man. I'm going to.
He looks like he's a little man. He's 5'8".
Oh, yeah. You know, back in those days, that was probably average. This guy is actually one of my other favorite guys right here, too. His name isn't that weird Hazen Kyler, but that
this
name...
is. So is this going to be able to be seen with the podcast? Because if not, this is ridiculous.
Well, we're talking about the name, so it's just as good.
Okay.
So there.
So, but the picture that you're showing me of this guy, it looks like both of his eyes are swollen shut.
That's not the best thing about him, though. See, read his name off.
Oh, it's Kai Kai?
Yeah, Kai Kai Kyler. That's exactly. He stuttered. Yeah. That was his nickname. Okay.
So going back to Steigerwald?
Yeah, Steigerwald. So my other thing about him, though, you know, obviously, as you can see, the... you know, the topic that he raised was okay. The context of the topic, maybe not the best way to go. You know, it's not the greatest, lead in. I don't think, you know, like, it's like saying, hey, the death toll in Japan reached 10,000 people this past week. And speaking of death tolls, why won't Sony let you record the stereo mix on your own stupid netbook computer that you bought from them?
You know, looking at his picture, I kind of just put two and two together with his name and those amazingly blue eyes and blonde hair. He might be from 1943 Germany.
Number one, he doesn't have blue eyes and blonde hair. The man is a ginger.
Oh, is he a ginger? Is that what it is? It looks like blonde on mine. His mustache is straight blonde.
Yeah, well, it's kind of white, though. I don't know. He could be blonde.
He has no eyebrows.
Well, yeah, that's the mark of a blonde person. He is like really, really fair complexion, but... his face looks all red, so he's either alcoholic.
He's a drinker.
Right. Well, yeah, if he wrote this article, he definitely is.
Yeah.
But in addition to that, it's either he's a drinker or
he's a drinker or a ginger.
Or both. I mean, it's basically both at the same time, I think.
If you're a ginger, you're a drinker if you're a ginger.
That's a good point. I hate people with red hair.
Everybody hates you.
You know, if he was around in 2001, for example, he might have said, you know, in the news today, I saw that a plane crashed into the World Trade Center tower. And by the way, why don't planes give you any peanuts on the planes?
Yeah, That's, you know, that's only slightly worse than this.
Yeah, this is really, this is
because like, I really like the whole fact that this guy is was beaten within an inch of his life, and he's now in a coma, and they had to like take part of his skull out so that he his brain swelling wouldn't like kill him. And then this guy writes about how ridiculous it was that he wore a jersey to the stadium. That just blows me away. I hope this guy got fired.
Anyway, so my other point there about that was that this incident apparently is kind of one of those big incidents that they're talking about that like is like maybe like a reason why Los Angeles has overtaken New York City as the rudest city in America. And because it's because I like to relate everything back to me. You know, I'm going to New York City in a week and a half now. Yay. That was me saying yay. That was not, I didn't bring like a chipmunk in to say yay. I just wanted to clear that up, that there wasn't somebody else here saying that. So my other point, though, was that, you know, I'm going to New York City in a week and a half. And so I am, you know, planning on seeing everything. One of the big things that I'd heard about New York, one of the reasons why I'm going, frankly, is that New York City people have a certain attitude about them. You know, kind of like everybody in England has that, you know, is that attitude where they just don't take anything seriously, it seems like. You know, like every single thing that they say is potentially like rude or sarcastic.
Everything. Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't matter. They can be like, how are you doing today? And they could be meaning that was a horrible English accent. I'm sorry.
How are you doing? I can't do an English accent because of that now. How are you doing today?
How are you doing today, mate?
This is how we speak in England.
You know, so the, you know, they're all, you know, whatever they say, though. I mean, it could be like, you know, they could be like saying, hello, you all in America. I'm in England. How are you doing?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I this sound like a bad guy.
You don't even sound British.
the thing that I love.
I'm British. Hello.
It's the other thing that I love about England, just as the aside, is that, like, you know, whenever we have, like, a bad guy in the U.S., like, they always have an English accent.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it doesn't, like a Western. No, I'm Western, but apparently I'm from Yorkshire, and I'm evil. Today you will die, Mr. Bond. Okay, the James Bond.
Of course, Bond... Mr. Bond had British bad guys.
details. But, you know, we do that.
I don't respect the Americans enough to have American bad guys.
So anyway, so as I was saying, though, you know, New York has that certain attitude, you know, where you kind of expect everybody to be rude. And so, you know, New Yorkers actually have apparently, you know, heard this bit about, you know, New York City being all rude and stuff. And they've taken it seriously. So they've created this own their own website called rudenyc.tumblr.com. I guess it's not their website. It's just a website on Tumblr.
I don't think they've taken it very seriously if it's still on Tumblr.
Okay, well, there's a guy on Tumblr who took it seriously,
yeah,
okay?
Some guy's like, yeah, I want it to be a little bit more rude out here.
I'm walking here. But it's kind of awesome. They've got some you know, stuff on here about rudeness. And the thing is, like, some of these things, like, I just realized reading these thinking, you know, this is actually Seattle, too. Maybe Seattle's the rudest community in the U.S., and, you know, we have that reputation, you know, that we're like all nice and stuff. But,
passive-aggressive.
Right. And not just passive-aggressive, but we're just like, we're just mean. You know, we don't talk to people. And so
yes, Seattle is will be well known as the rudest city. When we when something offends us, we send a nasty email to somebody.
Yeah. Yeah. I used to work with a guy from New York who he is the guy who hosted the late night talk show that I produced, and he was very rude, but he admitted it. And then he's always talking about how rude Seattleites were, and it was like, you know, I never really realized it until that point. But I mean, he was totally right. I mean, we have this idea that we're all nice and everything. What we really are is we just don't care. Like, you know, when we see like a homeless person pass out in the street, like in New York, it'll be like, hey, get the fuck up. Hey, that was my New Yorker accent. It sounded like my English
a
accent.
A lot better than your British, actually.
Great. I'm walking in, bum.
Why are you getting me up for? I'm British. I was just sleeping on the road.
Hey, you, You sound awful drunk, man. Hey, are you a ginger?
I'm a ginger. I wrote an article about men not wearing jerseys.
This is the best British accent you'll ever hear.
Apparently John Steigerwald's English. Who knew? So anyway, so they have like these, you know, top five like recent rudeness things for today. But like some of these, like here's number one, I let my dog crap all over the sidewalk and didn't pick it up. That's
my neighbors did that in my lawn with their dog. With their dog. There was
like right
this last week, there was a postal worker who took a crap on a guy's lawn, and
oh, yeah,
the guy whose lawn he took a crap on got it all on camera.
Why would you do that?
I don't know, but he also took a picture of the poop.
That makes no sense. If you're a postal inspector,
there are very graphic photos where you see the guy and you see the poop coming out.
Oh, it's nasty.
There's the poop on the ground.
Well, obviously, I mean, you see it coming out. I mean, what would possess you as a postal inspector to poop on a guy's lawn? I
mean, he had to go. There's no bathrooms. You can't really go ask somebody.
You can. If it's like, okay, if it's between pooping on the lawn and asking somebody, I think you need to ask somebody.
You've never been camping.
Yeah, I've never been camping on somebody's lawn when I was dressed up like a postal inspector.
I think that's the biggest issue there. It's not the fact that he pooped on his lawn. It's that he's pooped on his lawn while wearing a uniform.
Yeah, let's relate this back to Mr. Steigerwald. What if he was wearing a Browns jersey? Actually, that would be appropriate. Okay, but seriously, I mean, what if he was wearing like a Seahawks jersey? Actually, that could work too. Like, if he's wearing a Hasselbeck jersey, he could be like, I'm pooping because that is my impression of Matt Hasselbeck. Oh
my God.
Because Matt Hasselbeck is poop. They need to relate.
If anybody saw John Steigerwald taking a crap in their yard, they'd be like, okay, that's guy looks about right for that.
Sir, can you give me a mustache ride when you're done with that poop? It'll cost you 15 cents.
He gives cheap mustache rides.
I don't know why, but I can't look at that guy and not think of the term mustache ride. It's not just that he has a mustache. It's like the particular kind of mustache that he's got. He's got like...
He and Tom Selleck go have mustache fights out back.
Exactly. He's got the Selleck mustache. It's just... And it's like, you know, the blonde mixed with gray. I mean, as you said, if he's not a ginger, then... He's like a total, like, Nazi, probably.
Hey, ladies, have you tried one of my whisker biscuits?
He's probably like, I have the most Aryan mustache in all of the land.
He and Tom Selleck approaching each other, snapping their fingers.
Selleck would have to be the bad guy in there, because he's got the black mustache. Dude's got the white mustache.
Yeah, but we already established that the Steigerwald's British, so he's automatically the bad guy.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's like it's one of those like 21st century like postmodernist movies with the mustaches.
We can go postmodernist with mustache movies. These guys are both living in 1983.
I wasn't aware that you could really do anything with mustache movies. Honestly,
are those guys kissing? No, they're fighting. It's mustache fighting.
Why is this movie called Brokeback Mountain 2 if it's about fighting?
Oh my God. I didn't know you did that in a fight. No. It's not that he's gay. He's just showing dominance.
He's the alpha male. I introduced this one is total, this is not just like Seattle, this is Microsoft. I introduced myself to an IT nerd today thinking I was being nice. I didn't understand why he looked at me oddly. Apparently, he's been with the company for 3 years and sits 30 feet away from me. To make matters worse, I sent him a bitchy email blaming him for the server crashing 10 minutes earlier. Whatever happened to outsourcing? I presumed he was in India somewhere. How's that for employee conduct? I like that one because they kind of like blame the IT person for the fact that they don't live in India. And like the dude The dude's name is probably like Jim Smith or something.
I was reading that and it's like, it's not really rude. The person writing that was just kind of stupid.
Yeah, I guess, I mean, that's my point, that like, if that's rude, then like, that's Seattle too. I'm sorry.
Because like, rude, like the guy not talking to her could be rude, but like, it's not really rude. It's just social awkwardness.
Right.
And that's really what Seattle's all about.
And IT guys as well.
It's all IT guys and engineers.
Right. Then there's this one that I don't get at all. My boyfriend asked me if he was gaining weight. I said, yes, he looks the exact same. Ooh. That.
It's Max's.
Yeah, Max with two X's, which I'm guessing is a dude. That's, I'm just going to guess. Yeah. Oh, yeah, there's the lady's dog took a crap in front of my building again. There's lots of taking craps in front of buildings. Again, like, which I think right now, whatever city that mailman took the crap in front of, that city
wins.
That was
Portland.
That was Portland?
Yeah.
Like Portland, like, legitimately, like is, like, one of the nicest cities in the country, though.
Oh, yeah, but their mailman just... it could have just been coffee.
That's probably what it was. No, not coffee. But, I mean, it was probably like Portland's so nice that like the mailman's like, this guy won't mind if I take a dump on his lawn.
Hey there, buddy. I'm just taking a crap right here. You want to join in?
It's me, John Steigerwald.
That's actually a really good question. That guy took a crap in the lawn. What did he use to wipe? Because you're not just pulling your pants back.
You know, I didn't want to think about that anymore. That's why I moved on.
That's a rash is what that is right there.
Yeah, maybe he just was like, okay, you know what? Maybe he was a clean crap. You know, you have those every now and then. I mean, not...
You don't.
Okay, you never had a totally clean
dirty
one.
Dirty underwear.
Well, you never have a totally clean one, but you have like, you could have like one that's like, you know, not, you don't... You know what? I don't want to talk about this anymore. This is gross.
So like three or four wipes.
Right, yeah, like, you got a couple where, you know, you get going back there, and you get, like, two or three wipes, and you're done. You know, maybe it was one of those.
No, that's a rash when he gets home.
Maybe he's going right home.
Well, then why did he take a crap in the guy's lawn?
Again, I can't explain it. I'm not the one who's trying to explain this. I don't know.
That is one of the best stories I've heard in a long time, though. Just the profession. You're the mailman. he has those empty like mailboxes in the back of his truck.
I don't. You'd think like it would
in the
more...
back of a mail truck is essentially a small toilet, the room.
I don't think that's true at all. That's not even remotely true. They don't have a toilet back there.
No, but I mean it's like a bathroom minus the toilet. You can use one of those little mailboxes or mail. Crates.
Well, in fairness, then he would have to walk or, you know, drive around with that, smelling that all day.
Just dump it.
Well, and there, I'll bet he used that guy's mail to wipe his butt. That's what he did. See? Right there. Oh, look at that. Publisher's Clearinghouse. You may already be a winner of poopy.
Oh, dude, the last one on this of the rude people in New York, the guy drunk. Two drunk dudes giggling at the railing, peeing on pedestrians on the street below. That is awesome.
I have to say, that's probably not something that you'd see happen in Seattle. Unless they were vagrants, and they don't ever let vagrants up on the second floor.
You were in band in high school. Did you guys take your shoes off when you went into the band room?
No. Why would we take our shoes
because
off?
Because when I was going to school, there was a lot of kids that took their shoes off before they went into the band room, and I don't know why, but there's always like a row of like 15 pairs of shoes out in front. And that reminds me, because one of my friends peed in the band kid's shoes.
Oh my God. That's just... Oh.
So it kind of just fit in Seattle.
That's just... Oh man. There's so much that's wrong with that.
Dude, you're a jerk. What are you doing?
This is a funny prank. Now somebody's shoes are going to smell like pee until they buy some new shoes.
They're going to have to buy new shoes. I'm essentially stealing $50 from each one of these kids.
Yeah, just the doubly doesn't make any sense, because the biggest thing that I know about like band, like compared to like orchestra and other places, is they have the spit vowels, you know, so you know you have periodically you got to spit the spit obviously out of your trumpet or whatever, or your trombone.
Okay, it could have been orchestra. I don't know.
Yeah, orchestra makes more sense, because
when I say band, I just mean all the music nerds.
Wow, that's discriminatory in and of itself.
Only because you're one of them.
Maybe there was like the foot keyboard band.
Foot keyboard band.
I think they added that the year after I left.
All I know is all those nerds had to go get some new shoes.
Man.
And that was one set of nerds picking on another. Because we were not on the top of the social chain there.
It's like the nerd hierarchy, as we mentioned last week.
Apparently D&D nerds sit up above the band.
I don't remember that being the case. They might have been like equals in some manner, but
yeah, I think it's just the D&D nerds tend to be all quiet, and they get picked on if they're not big enough.
They get picked on if they are big enough, because let's face it, if they're playing D&D, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, they're very, very large in that way.
That's a fair point.
Now, speaking of which, though, in orchestra, we had that same nerd hierarchy going, because I remember there was the orchestra dweebs. I think the bantards are at the highest level. They were the least nerdy of the group. Probably the jazz band people were the least nerdy, because there was like, you know, there were actually like, you know, people who like played like instruments that you saw like on TV, you know, in there, like, you know, the guitar and the bass and
yeah,
the piano.
But you still went had competitions with music.
Yeah, I know.
And then there's nothing cool about that. It's kind of like the dance off, where people doing the dance off think it's really cool, but everybody watching is just laughing at them.
You know, I want you to go home right now. That was just wrong.
No, it's true.
But, well, you know, and I mean, the thing is, though, okay, choir and orchestra had the same thing. I mean, maybe not as much as the band, because, you know, the jazz band had that whole, you know, guys who were like 75 years old who were still into jazz, because that was what was popular when they were like 15. But
you get the weird, like, hey, guys, I saw you playing that music.
That's good. We're not going to rip off the Family Guy anymore.
That's all I can think about when you have some 75-year-old dude watching a bunch of teenage guys play bad jazz.
Well, you can have a guy coming in there going, hey, I've just been listening to your show and I had a comment to make. Why are people, so many of you, wearing uniforms? You shouldn't wear uniforms to a jazz concert.
Did you ever have anybody say that to you?
I had John Segerwald say that to me, yes. And then he beat me into a coma. And then he peed in my shoes when he was done. At least I think it was him. It was all kind of hazy after a while.
The peeing in the shoe moves is awesome. that's full on. You're declaring dominance over those kids.
Are you really declaring dominance, or are you just declaring that you had a full bladder? Because that's what I'm thinking.
Peeing on somebody or something, that's a dominance move. Because right there, when you're doing it, you're taking the risk of them finding out, which means that you have to take the risk that you have to be full of, or, you know, trust in yourself enough that you can beat them up. In band nerds, it's like, okay, yeah, you're going to win.
Yeah, I think it depends on the band nerd, because I think, you know, you get there was a little tiny bit of crossover between the band nerds and like the guys who played football. No, there wasn't.
No,
what
there
am I
weren't.
Saying? Okay.
If you played football, you weren't allowed to be in the band.
I played football and I was in the band. So there. I quit the
So during
football.
Halftime, did you have to like change into the other uniform? Because isn't that required to play in the marching band if you're in band?
No, I actually was in the marching band the second semester. The first semester I did football, and the second semester I did the marching band and competed in the marching band competition.
Did you twirl your baton better than the other kids?
I played the bass drum. That's like the lamest instrument ever. The bass drum.
You have to have basic rhythm.
You really don't.
Kind of.
You just hit the drum.
Dome, 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 dome.
I still remember my part. We had like, I think we only filled like two or three songs, but my part, like in the first song, I am not making this up, was,
you weren't even one of the cool guys that had the like played the snare drum.
Oh, hell
cool,
no.
Cool is in quotations there.
I wasn't a drummer. I was just like, I played the string bass in the concert band, and you know, I wanted a letter, so they're like, okay, you can play the bass drum.
Why didn't they have you do something that was like at least like similar in sound? Like the bass drum, kind of, but like the tuba can't be that hard.
Okay, number one, the tuba in the marching band, not the tuba. It's an instrument called the sousaphone. I don't know if you've seen the sousaphone, but it's like the tuba, only you can take it apart, and it just sounds horrible. Number two,
see, that's where you come off as a nerd.
Exactly. Yeah. Wait a minute. That was a good reference if I was not. Okay. God damn it.
Because I did not know that there was an instrument called the sousaphone.
Well, now you do.
And knowing, I will promptly forget that.
Knowing is half the battle. But so you have that. So the sousaphone was like this horrible instrument that kind of wraps around you. You know, like the tuba. You know, the tuba, you place it in front of you,
right,
on your knees.
Yep.
But it's the sousaphone, you kind of wrap it around you when you're playing. So that, I mean, that was like issue number one, is that it was really, really dumb. Or at least like the bass drum was, you know, okay, I'm playing the bass drum, whatever.
But the bass drum, because of like the 1950s cartoons, all I can think of is like the really, really fat guy. It's like with the goofy smile in front of him, just like, you know, just jalopping along. Just.
Well, I mean, that was part of it too. I played football, so like I was the football player who was in the bands. Like, hey, you can play the bass drum because you're strong enough to carry it.
That was their way of saying, oh, you play football, you can play the bass drum because you're stupid.
No, it wasn't. You take that back. The bottom line is, we went to that competition in Victoria. Oh yeah, that's right. And my bass drum part was the following rhythm. Doom, 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 doom. Doom, doom. The end.
The whole song or just that part right
yeah,
there?
Yeah, over and over again. So
okay, that's just boring.
Yeah, exactly.
That's like when you're the bass player in the band and you have to play all eighth notes.
You're like in the rock band.
Okay, this sucks, guys. I want to play some slap.
So you just start playing that and then you get kicked out of the band because you're overplaying.
It's like, Hey, jerkwad, you got to play root notes or eighth notes, your choice.
So you start doing all crazy stuff with the eighth notes. Start walking.
We're playing punk, not jazz.
Now you're playing jazz punk. How does that feel?
Ridiculous and horrible.
Where are you playing bass in a punk band?
When I was 16, playing eighth notes was about as much as I could do.
Okay, well, that makes sense now then, because I was about to say, because when you're playing bass in the punk band, basically is, that's like what they give to like the band, like the lead singer's girlfriend, because they want to have a chick in the group, or, you know, the dude who owns the van. Actually, no, I take the dude who owns the van is always a drummer, because he has to take his equipment.
Yeah, he's got the jam space,
right? Yeah, no, the bass player is always like the dude who like can't really play, but he's friends with everybody else, so hey, what the hell, we'll give you the bass.
You got it right on the nose there. Hey, let's make a band. Okay, cool, I can jack my brother's bass for a few hours.
You stole my bass. You stole my bass to play punk rock. That's even worse.
Playing punk rock with a fretless bass is not the easiest.
Oh
thing
my
in the
god!
World to
you
do.
Played the fretless. Oh, that's like
that's all you had. Now I feel gonna hold the stand up bass down there.
Now I feel sorry for the people that you played with, because like on top of like on top of everything else, like that means that like they're like horribly out of tune. And just, oh my man. Yeah, that's,
well, you couldn't move your hand much with that thing.
You really couldn't move it at all, is what it comes down to.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're playing this song in F, and that is it.
I mean, not the key, the note.
Yeah, wow. I mean, I couldn't even stay in tune with that thing.
Well, I went and bought one eventually. I think because you had taken it at one point, and I was like, shit. I need a bass to be able to play today.
That's what you get when you steal my bass.
And then when you get the frets, you're like, hey, I can play some slap bass. Slap bass never sounds good.
Well, you have to learn how to do it.
Well, you have to be really good and play with a band of really good musicians. Otherwise, you just sound stupid.
Well, my problem was always like coming up with stuff that I could do with the slap. Like, because I never listened to enough funk, or the funk that I listened to wasn't like the right kind of funk that had all a slap in it. So I'd be like, okay, bow, bow, bow. Okay, there you go. That's my bass move. Well, I'll try this one. There you go. I learned that one by watching another guy do it for like 3 seconds. Oh, yeah, that's right. I could do the theme to Night Court. No, that's Law and Order.
Okay, sorry.
And that's like horribly out of tune, Law and Order. That's not even like... I don't know how I knew that, actually.
It's three, what is that, snaps with the little string.
Bow, 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 bow. That's the best part of that song.
You're listening to the Johnny Slick Podcast.
You only got away because the power's a weak. I need me gold!
Well, thanks to Robert, as well as all the people that we have directly or indirectly insulted, called out, or otherwise referenced in this podcast. And I know there were many. Vote for the Johnny Slick Podcast on iTunes or on Podcast Alley, or sign up for the feed directly at johnnyslickpodcast.podomatic.com. Make sure that when you do that, though, you still go to iTunes or Podcast Alley and vote for us, because that's how people know about us and get the word out. The end.
Reproduction or rebroadcast of the Johnny Slick Podcast without express written consent from Major League Baseball is strictly prohibited. Copyright 2011. Listening to this message means the Johnny Slick Podcast owns your babies.
Klaatu, Verada,
okay then.
That's it.